Parkcast, the UK's original theme park podcast.
Welcome back to Parkcast, park fans. We're a podcast for theme park fans. You know by now, we're here every week talking about all the goings on in the theme park world and what an exciting place it is to be at the moment. Usually halfway through the season, everything's happened. We haven't got a lot to talk about, but not this year. Now, Kev isn't here this week. However, I am joined by, I don't like to have favourite guests.
Oh.
But Lawrence from University Bedford, I'm going to say you're one of my favourite guests.
I'm delighted. I'm delighted to be. I love being here, to be honest. I mean, you know, every single time, it's kind of, you've got to drag me out with, you know, by my fingernails and kind of stuck into the podcast.
Yeah, we will stop recording now, Lawrence.
I go on.
No, not at all. If you don't know Lawrence, he is from University Bedford and he's the guy who's keeping a very, very close eye on Universal, what we're calling GB on this podcast. We think that that's an acceptable name for it until told otherwise by Universal. And he is the man to go to if you want to know what's going on as well. So it's been an exciting few weeks in the world of Universal GB. We first started talking on this podcast almost a year ago now, and you were very confident at the time that the Universal project was going to get the go ahead.
Was it a year ago?
It was. Oh, I think it was like last September when you first came on.
Wow. So,
yeah, not, I mean, quite, that, but nearly.
That. Yeah. I mean, God, like, yeah. It. A lot's happened.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I remember at the time, I was so confident that it was going to happen, for various reasons, and it's so nice to be proven right. So nice.
Love it when a plan comes together.
Because, you know, there's nothing worse than having egg on your face either. So, you know, you got to be confident. Got to be confident. I'm so glad that, we've had a couple of weeks, Bex.
Oh, we've had a few. I mean, yeah. Like we said, you came here in September. We were quite confident something was going to happen. A couple of months ago, we had the Keir Starmer unveiling the concept art curtain moment, where it was like, yep, we are pushing for this project to happen. So that was like, yes, okay, cool, it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
We still have a couple of hurdles to go through. The next one was going to be, as you told us on this podcast many months ago, that they were going to go for a special development order, so not usual planning permission.
Yes.
And that is what has happened in the last couple of weeks. So explain to us, if you are new to the podcast, if you haven't heard this before, what is the special development order and why are Universal going for one of these?
Okay, so when this was first being discussed a year ago, we were talking about how it would ever get through planning, and the special development order, or SDO, is a way that a developer can go to central government, can go to Westminster, and can circumvent the local authorities. Now, that's not to say that local authorities aren't super excited about Universal. They are. In fact, the mayor of Bedford, Tom Wootton, has actually proposed in a council meeting that Bedford has a Universal Day once a year.
I'm
not joking.
Well, as of now?
I don't know. Sure. Like, I think it's going to I can't remember if it's going to commemorate the anniversary of Keir Starmer's charismatic appearance at the local college, or the planning applications being dropped via the SDO. Anyway, the SDO is this opportunity for Universal to fast track what they want to do. It's an opportunity for them to go faster and for them not to reveal to the public too many details. If you have to apply for planning permission if you want to put a dormer window in your roof.
Yeah.
Okay. And that, you know, everyone knows that, you know, hang on a sec, they're doing some home improvements over here. Universal
Money
don't,
bags.
you know, they, yeah, exactly, right? Ooh, fancy pants. As Universal, they don't, you know, they want to be able to go, right, guys, this is the kind of the broad brush strokes of what we're doing. This is the heights that we want to get to. These are all of the, you know, countermeasures to any of the issues that may occur. Is that cool? And everyone's going to go, yeah, cool, apart from a few people. And then they'll just go ahead and do it. But the great thing is, it just means that because now it's a political thing, the government aren't going to say no.
Yeah,
It would be too
it
embarrassing.
would be embarrassing.
So
Yeah.
it's, although, yes, the planning application through the SDO has not been green lit. Okay. Yeah, you got me on a technicality. However, there is absolutely no way it's being rejected, partly because Universal have been corresponding with the government throughout, then putting together those documents to make sure that it gets rubber stamped as soon as possible.
Yeah, which makes absolute sense. And yeah, like you say, you don't want Keir Starmer saying, "Oh, look at this lovely concept art. What's going to come to Bedford?" And then actually, yeah, no, we don't like the look of that.
Yes.
So where we are at the moment. So what got us all excited a couple of weeks ago was because they were applying for this SDO. As part of that, they has to go to a public consultation for 30 days, and for it to go to a public consultation, they have to make certain documents available online so that the public, not just us theme park nerds, the public can see what it's all about. But obviously, as theme park nerds, when we found out when those documents were going to be going live, I think that that government website has never had so many hits at the same, like, midday it was going live, wasn't
I
it?
know.
Every theme park nerd who was interested in this in any kind of way was like
Hit an
tapping.
F5. I know. We all were. It was wild. And we didn't really know what to expect from it. We
No.
didn't know how granular the detail would be and if there would be any detail. Turns out there's a lot of detail.
Oh, so much
Maybe,
detail.
yeah, I mean, like, yeah, lots. Like, there's 60 documents on there, and some of those documents, they're PDF files, so they're just mainly words, and they are, in some cases, like 70 megabytes. They
Yeah.
are huge documents. So I have, you know, because I'm not reading 7,000 pages. I would love to, but there's not enough hours in the
You have
day.
children.
I have children, you know, and work and stuff. So what I did was I uploaded all of those documents into a this is very geeky, but hey, that's where we are. And I uploaded them all to a vector database.
Oh.
I know. And I connected that via ChatGPT's API to that. And now I just go, right, give me the summary of this. Now, that's great. But now I've got a lot of information about stuff, which, you know, doesn't really turn me on. This is the thing. We've got all that documentation, all of it, right? We don't know still necessarily the IPs coming
No.
to the park. We have a good idea because we've seen the concept art, we've seen what they've done in the past, and we know that there are licensing agreements for some things and not others. But we do now know a lot about floodplains, and we know a lot about local infrastructure and slip roads. Don't forget the slip
I
roads
love
off
it.
the
I love the
A421.
slip road chat.
That,
It's a
honestly,
highlight.
you know what? If you love slip roads, I said this last time, you're going to love my content over the next 12 months because it's going to be Slip Road City. It's going to be unbelievable. No, so it's got everything. But there are, as you know, Bex, because Bex and I were texting on the day. I mean, everyone was just texting each other and go, oh, this person's found that. This person found that. Oh, this person's doing a live stream and they've got this.
If we
And
were
it's.
more organized nerds, we could have assigned each one of us a document and done it that way, but instead we were not very organized.
No, that's not the way. Like, look, if it comes to kind of having an itinerary for knocking out all your favorite attractions over a day or a few days, hey, we are organized.
Come see
But
us,
when it
yeah.
comes, no, not like that. But it was great because it was, oh, we found out some pretty juicy tidbits
Yeah.
about some of the rides and attractions we may see, Bex.
Yes. So, yeah, I think one of the first thing of what we were all looking for, very, scanning through the documents, as you say, was any talk of heights. Because from the concept art, we can see that there is a roller coaster which is heavily rumored to be Back to the Future themed. Nothing is confirmed, as you said. And there is very clearly quite a tall spike on it. And we've all wanted to know, how tall is that spike? Is it going to be a UK's tallest? So what did the documents tell us?
Well, the documents told us that the tallest element of construction on the site, which, if you look at the concept art, appears to be that Back to the Future roller coaster. And to be honest, I think that's nailed on. I think it's nailed on. I think
You
they've
don't want
put
to
the
end up with
concept
egg
up.
on your face here.
Exactly. Everyone's buzzing for it. Everyone's like, yeah, give me that. Anyway, 115 meters above ground level. That's pretty big.
That is big.
That's pretty big. That's 43 meters taller than Hyperia.
It's definitely a UK tallest. And that's above ground level, not sea level, Blackpool Pleasure Beach.
And I
It
fell foul to that same confusion.
is quite, it is confusing. And this is what we mean about these documents. Like, there is so much in there, and a lot of it is planning speak. So to
It
wade
is.
through
There,
that
do you know what?
as a
Like,
layman is.
hey, if you love acronyms, it's your place to be because, yeah, they've got, above ground level, and then they've got above, but they're
It's
not
like
using
datum or something, isn't it?
AGL, they're using
Yeah.
something else, and it's wildly confusing. But Back to the Future, that ride, I'm like sitting at 95% certain that is coming.
Yeah. You heard it here first.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't do it, hate on me.
I'll give out your address.
Troll me online, okay? Do that for me because I'll have earned it. But no, I genuinely believe that they put that on there. The whole point of the concept art was not, it's not a planning document. It's not there for anything other than to see how people react to it.
Yeah.
And for people, the reason they didn't make it overtly clear as to what everything was. So, for example, on the Back to the Future, on the Hill Valley section, they removed the clock tower. Oh, I wonder what it is. And around Jurassic World, they removed the gate. Cryptic.
There's no fooling you, is there?
But this is the thing. It's absolutely intentional because nobody taught. If they put the clock tower on Hill Valley, everyone go, wow, it's Back to the Future, nailed on, right? And here we are, 3 or 4 months later, still debating it, still conversing about it, and they're getting all of this information about how it's landing. So the great thing with Back to the Future is it's an age-old IP now. It's been around forever. It's not going anywhere. It's not gone anywhere. And I think there is demonstrably an enormous appetite for it. So yeah, genuinely, I'm not. I'm so tempted to go above 95%, but I'm not because just because I said 95%, got to stick with you.
Okay. But and I think it's probably important to say that that's the maximum height that they've asked for. They haven't necessarily said it's going to be that tall, but that they have sort of committed that they won't go taller than that. However, it's quite a random figure to put in there if you're not planning to make best use of all of that available height.
It is. I genuinely look. If it's not 115 meters, okay. Like if it's 105, or that's again, that would not necessarily surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me if the 115 is kind of, there's a bit of sandbagging in there and they're going to kind of go, oh, we've listened to you. It's now 114 meters. And it could well be that the 115 number also includes, the maximum height of cranes during construction and things like that. You know, you can't lift something 115 meters in the air if your crane is shorter than that. So there is a there are a few unknowns. I would say, looking at it, and with that difference between where we are at the moment at 72 meters and what they've applied for at 115, it would absolutely amaze me if they did not go to the limit and break the record. And there is something also very interesting in that, which I was messaging Coaster Talk the other day, and it struck me that it was just such a remarkably smart move, actually, for Universal to go for a UK's tallest. Now, not because actually in the rest of the world, except from maybe Saudi Arabia, people don't really care about tallest so much anymore. That was a thing, but it's not so much anymore. Whereas in this country, Merlin has created this like culture of most inversions, steepest drop, tallest roller. That's been the discourse. So it's almost kind of actually a culturally sensitive thing to do to try and break a record. I might be completely off the ball there, and I might be, galaxy braining something, but it just seemed to me,
No,
very on point.
I think there's something in that. And it's also interesting that Universal don't ever go for this kind of, they'd never push a ride as being the UK tall, the UK's tallest, or any country that they've built in's tallest or fastest or longest. They let the rides and the attractions sell themselves through their theming. It's not about the element, it's about the ride experience. So in a way, they don't even need it to be the tallest, because we know it's going to be a ride themed experience unlike anything that we've probably got in this country already. But if they can kind of take it at the same time, just because they're like, yeah, why not? And I think they also know that there's probably not going to be a park who will be able to beat that in this
I
country,
could.
because the restrictions on those parks are so much tighter.
Absolutely. I mean, I think at the moment, soon to be RIP Ride Rocket, but I think Ride Rocket is a kind of their tallest roller coaster in the world at the moment, which is kind of nuts.
And it's
So
just not something they talk about. It's
it's
not,
not
its
their
height isn't
thing.
important.
No, I mean, you look, and you completely understand why. The roller coasters are renowned for being some of the best in the world, and they
Ride
do that
Rocket aside.
without a gimmick. Feeling that monstrosity. Very, very, very. That one's going to be super interesting. Just to see how it pans out. And genuinely, I'm not sure if we're going to find out exactly on that until it's actually in the sky above my house.
You could be doing some like comparisons. You need to find a local landmark and do some very clever maths and go, okay, I think it's this tall. I'm sure there's like Pythagoras can help you. It must have been useful for something. So
Or
since
Chat
you,
GPT,
well, all
always, always.
that.
I've been out of the game too long to think about Pythagoras.
I don't even know where that came from. That's just sat in the back of my brain
Hey, that
somewhere.
was good though. That was good because you need to go up and along and then measure the
Well, it was always the
hypotenuse.
like Harry wants to know the angle between his ladder and his outside wall. Why?
Right. Why does he need to
Why does
know?
he need to know?
If
Get a
he's
life,
thinking too
Harry.
much about that, he's going to fall over. He's going to fall off. He's going to hurt himself. It's actually a health and safety risk for him to be considering these things. But madness.
That's
Yes.
the only height-related thing we kind of found out in terms of rides and attractions, though, isn't it?
Yes.
But nothing else from the concept art we could see was going to kind of
No, no,
come
no,
in
no, no.
tall or
That
anything like that. That's not, it's not really what they're going for.
nothing at all. That's the one. That's the one. The roller coaster's the one. I mean, there were some, interesting bits about, multi-story car parks and how high they
Oh,
may be.
yeah.
Love that. And
I thought what was quite interesting is that they said it needed to be tall to compete with parks in Europe. They had a line in their document which said, we've asked for it this kind of height to, so it can compete with other major parks in Europe. And there was a kind of a subtle dig in there to say that the UK doesn't have a world-beating park at the moment. So it's the European parks that they're talking about. And I'm guessing something like Red Force
Yes.
over at Port Ventura,
Hey,
Ferrari
well,
Land.
you know
But
what? They've got 3 meters to play with.
they have.
So,
It's going to be close on that one.
yes.
I think a European park could quite easily beat that. I think somewhere like
Yeah.
Energylandia, they could go really tall. But I think it being Europe's tallest, I wouldn't. Your 95%, I don't think comes into whether this is going to be Europe's tallest or not. Because even if it is for a short amount of time, I wouldn't be surprised if it gets that would
Oh,
get taken
definitely. And
away. But
identifying Energylandia as the culprit of that's 100%. I wouldn't be surprised if they're already working on it. And I can't imagine. I could, you know, I imagine it's all above board, but I bet they've got a very good relationship with their local planning board, with their current skyline.
This one's going in and it's 115 meters. We need to be bigger than that. Okay, well, that's it. I think that was a very juicy tidbit from these many, many planning documents. Another juicy tidbit, and one of the things we wanted to know was, is this going to be a 365 park? And how late are they going to be open? That wasn't 100% made clear, but there are signs, I would
There are
say.
signs. But look, it's definitely 365. Definitely 365.
What makes you think it's what's given it to you that it's 365?
There's just no way that it's not. It's like I didn't need it. Yeah. Look, yeah, I don't need it in black and white to know. If you're spending at least £3 billion on something, you're not going to go, do you know what? I can afford to just not make any money for 25% of the year. Because you know what? Like, yeah, people want to come, but no, I'm just not going to open. No, they're not going to struggle. I could, you look at Alton Towers, Legoland, Chessington, Thorpe Park, and we've had this conversation. Will they ever go 365? I don't know if there's the appetite for it. There is for weirdos like us. But generally, not really. Whereas if Universal open 365, not only will they have Halloween Horror Nights, not only are they. The thing that made it very clear to me was they had stuff in there about New Year, Chinese New Year, Diwali, Eid. They didn't mention Christmas, but it just that made it pretty clear to me that I mean some of those move around as well in the year. They're not going to go, oh well, Eid's in December this year, so we're going to be 365. Like, no, they're going to be 365 all the time. It's not. There's no question. No question. It makes no sense for it not to be. The opening hours. Now those are interesting because. The opening hours listed in the document are 7 a.m. till 11 p.m. every
Nice.
day.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm gonna. There's a caveat
No,
coming.
yeah,
Don't
there's a
worry,
but
guys.
coming.
Yeah, there is. And on seasonal events, which include Halloween Horror Nights and the aforementioned festivities, w the park will be open till 2 a.m. They've also said that most nights. No fireworks, but there might be an evening spectacular, so probably drones. However, on some of those, more sporadic celebrations, like, New Year's, Eid, Diwali, that kind of thing, they will be kind of putting on a show. Now, I said 7 till 11, and that sounds like a great day for me. 16 hours of just,
Well, that's a
going for
lot
it.
longer than Epic's current opening hours.
It won't be 7 till 11. These are illustrations to let locals know when to expect activity. So it might close at 11 or 10 or maybe 9, maybe some winter evenings. It probably won't open at 7 o'clock in the morning. That might well be some of the shops might open, the car park will open, that sort of thing. Because this whole project is being presented as a entertainment complex. So it's not just the SDO is not just this is about a theme park. This is about an entertainment complex that includes a theme park, that includes a hotel, that includes City Walk and retail and dining, and it includes parking. And I think it's trying to let people know that, okay, people will be arriving from 7 in the morning and they will be leaving round about 11 up at night. Most people will be gone by 11 at night. So I think it's really just showing people kind of when to expect activity. So basically, if you are awake, something's going on there. Unless you've got small children, in which case, maybe not.
All
But
bets are off.
yeah.
Okay. But I mean, but I think what it does tell us is that they're not going to be shutting up shop at 4 p.m. midweek.
No, we are not going to be having Alton Towers opening hours.
Which is good because it might make Merlin, or if Merlin still own these parks at that point in time, go, maybe we need to look at that as well, which would be nice.
It will. So I don't think it will push them all to be 365.
No.
I think, maybe Legoland has a opportunity to, but the others probably not. Not in their current guise. But I do think the opening hours, I think that's a really interesting point. I think at the moment, I mean, the opening hours are just embarrassing, actually. It's just ridiculous. Oh, we open at, like, we went about a month ago and it was midweek, but it was 10 till 5 at Thorpe Park. And I was like, what? What? 10 till 5?
I bet it was sunny as well, wasn't it? And you're just like, oh, we'll just have a nice, like, you could have a nice summer's evening in the park.
Yeah, it
And,
was absolutely beautiful. I don't mind it opening at 10. That's cool. I get to miss the worst of the M25, but open till 8.
And I think it's interesting because we've talked about the price for Universal, and we know that, day tickets to Universal are going to be expensive compared to our current theme parks. But if they're also open 5 hours more, people are going to look at that and they're going to go, yeah, it's more expensive, but actually I get more hours in the park, so, and I get the all these amazing attractions, obviously. But that kind of justifies the price in a lot of ways, even without the Universal like branding all over it, just the fact that you're getting more hours to experience stuff. So yeah, hopefully that does spur on some change. Obviously the thing that alerted us to these hours, and then what was mentioned was the Halloween Horror Nights, which again got us very excited. I know it was something that you were really hoping for, and they specifically mention in the documents 20, was it tw no, how many days of
60.
60 days of Halloween Horror Nights,
Yeah.
a
60
full
days.
2 months of Halloween Horror Nights in the UK.
It's great. How good is that? How good is that? I was I was doing a video actually. When was it? last couple of days, and I mentioned the Halloween Horror Nights, and I just started thinking. I thought, like, great, okay, we get Universal Monsters, we get all of the great stuff, we get some of the kind of the Netflix and Amazon IPs that they've kind of started to use as well. Great. And then I realized that actually, of any country in the world, for thousands of years, UK has been a pretty grim place. And there's been some pretty rough stuff that's happened right here. So, I mean, there is so much opportunity to do some really, really cool stuff. Really, like, you could do stuff, about witchcraft in medieval times, or you could do stuff about Jack the Ripper. You could do, there's all of this stuff that is untapped. It would be nuts if they didn't. So I was so relieved to see it in there. I think it's gonna be so great. It's gonna be so It's gonna be unbelievable. And yeah, I just can't wait to see what they do with, I'm gonna call it, the UK's intellectual property of grim history. Yeah.
And I think, there are some fantastic scare attractions in this country now, and every year, I think they get better. And, even aside from theme parks, I'm talking just generally, there are some amazing scare attractions. I don't go to them because I am a wuss.
I know, I
But
know. I've been following your videos with interest.
but I just think this is gonna be next level. It's just gonna, and Halloween Horror Nights isn't all about the most depraved, scariest thing that you've ever seen. It's a lot more accessible, I think, than that. And even
No,
I will be able
that's the
to
thing.
enjoy it.
It's the full range, isn't it? It's got everything from kind of Texas Chainsaw Massacre to, some really weird kind of occult stuff to Stranger Things. So there's going to be something there for everyone. And do you know what? I think of everyone, I think, look, Bex, you're going to have to come down and be on the TikTok going through some of these.
Literally, it will not be broadcastable.
It is on my channel because
Have no idea. Right. Kev has been with me through the Curse of Alton Manor.
How'd that go?
Not well.
Oh, really?
Not well. No, I can't do
Great.
it. The Blackpool Pleasure Beach Ghost Train, eyes closed. Like, this
Eyes
is.
closed.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I don't like gore, and I don't like jump scares. So, it's a tricky balance to find something that I can enjoy from a scare attraction.
I'm kind of with you on the jump scares. I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. It makes me laugh. Do you know what? It's like the kind of the supernatural stuff. That's what
Oh,
freaks
see,
me
I'm
out.
okay with that. No, I can deal with
No, I
that.
can't deal with that. Can't deal with that. And sometimes I'll react just by hysterically laughing. But sometimes I'll be like, oh no.
It nervous laughter?
It's like nervous laughter turned up to 11. It's
Okay, good. Well,
yes.
this will be funny. I mean, you've got this to look forward to in 6 years' time as myself and Lawrence
Yes.
go face up ears.
Man, that's you're not going to want to miss that. Genuinely. Oh my God.
Oh, dear.
We'll do one of these episodes. We'll do one of these episodes from the
We
park.
will. I mean, it's so far away and we'll be nearly 50, but
Yes.
it's
Yes.
fine. It'll be
Yes,
fine.
thanks for reminding me.
I have to keep telling myself that when I talk about this opening day of 2031. I'm like, I mean, it's close. And I
Yes.
genuinely think that 6 years is going to go quick because look how quickly it's gone since like COVID times.
So
But I
true.
do also have to remind myself that I age in that time as well.
I know that's it's always grim aging. The thing that I'm liking, so I've got kids and I like thinking it's really weird, right? But every time I think of how old they are, I do a mental calculation of how old they'll be in 2031. And I and part of that, because my brain works a bit funny, I'm thinking, yep, I'll be able to go on that. I'll be able to go on that. Yeah, and that. And even when I measure my son right now, I'm like measuring him up and I'm like, mate, you've only got 3 more centimeters and you'll be able to ride X or whatever it is, right? And I'm thinking like, ooh. Anyway,
It's
that's
true.
an
Yeah, you've
insight.
got to think about these
But like
things.
that to me, that's the exciting thing. So like, you know, for those of us who do have kids, it's great because you can kind of think, ooh, actually, I can really look forward to that. And I God, like I will be. And you know, with any luck, they'll have grown out of Minions by then as well. So
You're not going to avoid
doubtful.
that Minions
Hey
lamp.
man, I love those little yellow dudes. They're cool.
Yeah, they're coming for you.
There's something.
Okay, I mean, those were the really juicy bits. There's so much in there, and I don't want to keep you too long, or the listeners of Parkcast too long, because
Of
I know that a
course.
lot of you listen on your morning commutes, and you'll be looking
Ooh.
at the clock and going, ah. But I do want to touch on capacity.
Yes.
So they mentioned, I think it's 55,000 max capacity, which is huge.
55,000
That kind of
on
gives us an idea of the scale of how big the
Yes.
park's going to be.
It does. It does. 55,000 on the busiest day. So that's their kind of their peak day crowds. Now I I did a bit of research. So 55,000 peak days. Annually, they're expecting 8.5 million in the first year. Now, I wanted to, because that seems massive, right? And it actually, compared to the parks that we have, I mean, it's kind of like 4 times Legoland Windsor, which is currently the most attended park, to my knowledge. So I wanted to compare it with some other parks around the world. So in 2023, because that's the latest year that we've got this data for. Guess how many people, and everyone can play along with this. It's like a little fun game. Guess how many people in 2023 attended the Disneyland Paris Resort? So that's both parks, both parks.
Oh, I don't know. It's got to be it's the most visited in Europe, isn't it? It's got to be 6 million,
6
7
million,
million.
7 million. Okay. Now, just for context again, Universal near Bedford, 8.5 million. Disneyland Paris Resort in 2023 was 16.1 million.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Massive, right?
Yeah.
Enormous. Now, I wanted to also check then a Universal park. So I looked for their busiest, which turns out to be the Japanese one in Osaka. And that one, 12.3 million. So this 8.5, it's not like they're not throwing a number out there and kind of hoping to hit it. They're throwing probably quite a realistic number out there because I mean they're saying, look, yeah, it'll be on opening year half of what Disneyland Paris attracts. I mean that's really conservative. That's them kind of going, yeah, okay, we can hit that. So I don't think that's like a stretch target or anything like it. They will make that target 100%. And it seems wild to us because we're used to something else in this country. But yeah, 8.5 million, 55,000 on a peak day. Absolutely crazy attendance. Absolutely crazy. It's going to, you know, when it's populated, it will be increasing the population of Bedford by 25%. Imagine
Wow.
that.
And that's
Imagine that.
something you didn't think you'd be saying 5 years ago.
It isn't, and it's something now that everyone listening can take with them into their day, knowing that the population of Bedford will be 25% larger
On a peak
when,
day
on a
at
peak day.
Universal. Love
Yes,
that.
but there are a couple. I just want to kind of mention a couple of things because I think the things that were announced that aren't theme park. Okay, so we are going off on a small tangent and we will loop back very quickly. City Walk, not mentioned by name. But yes, there is going to be a retail and dining space that will be open to ticket holders and non-ticket holders. Excellent news.
Yeah.
Excellent news.
Toothsome's Chocolate Emporium,
Hey,
please, if you're listening, Universal.
you've seen the concept art. It's on there. It's on
It's
there.
95% sure it's on there.
I'm 95% sure. So that's good. The hotel, 500
Yes.
beds. We kind of knew that that was going to be the case, but it's great to see that in the documentation as well. Quite interesting that, 500 beds and 55,000 people, either there's a lot of bunks in those beds, or I think this is going to be quite a deluxe experience. This
Yes.
is kind of going to
Yep.
be like the the
Helios.
main hotel at Disneyland Paris, the one that you kind of walk through. So I think it's going to be, super premium. And finally, the area that they're using at the moment for all of the construction work, which is that kind of big concrete slab. If you're into the videos, you've seen it. That is going to be turned into either second gate. There is mention of an indoor water park.
Yes.
Not sure about that. That was in part of the document that they were recounting some of the feedback that they had had, right, from the surveys. So I'm not sure that'll happen. It'd be great if it did. I mean, if it did, it would have to be enormous. And we've got Centre Parks down the road, so the bar's pretty high.
Hey, I
But
love Centre Parks.
man, I do too. But you know what? If you can afford to go to Centre Parks, you can definitely afford to go to Universal. But that's also potentially going to be, second gate, indoor water park, maybe. But more hotels, more restaurants, more shops, all of that sort of thing. I said it before, this is not going to be a watered down, miniaturized, and I'm using air quotes here, UK version of Universal. This is going to be the full experience. No, nothing's going to be held back. They're going all out because ultimately it's on them. It's their names on it, and they are not going to risk anyone having a bad day.
No. Yeah, fully agree. And also, I think this is kind of our mindset in this country is that when we get something in the UK, it's going to be a little bit rubbish. And I think we have to put that to one side and go, no, actually, we're going to get something good for once. Something that we can be really proud of to have here, and something that is going to be absolutely world class. There's so much in these documents. A lot of it is about, like you say, slip roads and flowers and various
No.
grasses and vegetation. I mean, there's a whole document about vegetation,
Yeah,
which.
there's a document, and I can't. I'm probably going to get the words wrong here, but it's like arboreal sustainability. And you think, okay, we got 50 pages on trees. Cool. All right, nice.
If you are ever struggling to sleep at night, and you've tried listening to podcasts and
Yes.
that's not working for some reason, you could just read that document.
Yeah,
It might be.
I I'll do my best to highlight the one. It'll be kind of like my sleep playlist. If 6.1.3 doesn't work, try 7.1.18.
Hey, you could just read like the audiobook version of it. You could record it, stick that on Spotify.
What an idea.
That
Now you
Lawrence Universally Bedford reads the SD.
This is arboreal sustainment,
I love
read
it.
by University Bedford. Are you sitting comfortably?
Genuinely, I love that. That
Yeah.
is like one of those sleep hypnosis
Yeah, I
things.
need to get really close. So it's a bit of
Bit
that.
ASMR.
Oh, no, don't. I actually made myself feel sick just hearing it back in my headphones.
Okay, well, it's there if you want it. Right now, just before you go, as we've mentioned on the podcast before, you live very, very close, almost too close to this site.
No such thing.
And it was not a coincidence that you've ended up living where you live.
But
it does mean that you can pop down. You have been popping down recently. Is there anything exciting going on, or is it just theme park nerds coming and taking selfies?
There's a lot of theme park. I'll tell you something very interesting. So actually, there was something that was kind of circulated amongst some of our some of the drone operators amongst us this afternoon, actually. And some of the, so you know, there's those there's some houses, right? There's some houses in the middle of the plot. Now, a lot of them have been bought by Universal. Some of them, and I'm not, you know, there's absolutely no way to judge people, because I'm nuts for Universal, but if I'd lived in a home for 30 years and then all of a sudden, and by the way, it was a lovely house with fields all around it, and then all of a sudden they're like, not only are we going to build a theme park here, but you're out, I might be a bit upset about it. So I do understand, and I think that needs to be made absolutely clear, that I think we all do get that. And it is a very sensitive subject. But some of those people have been kind of, they'd spoken to the police and said, look, people are flying drones near our houses and, you know, it's not very cool and blah, blah, blah. So drone stuff is definitely on the horizon. And there might be actually some issues with that, because in the planning document, they're actually applying for a no-fly zone over the park.
Oh, really?
Yeah, during construction as well. So
that's quite unusual as well, because usually that's just reserved for like aircraft,
military and of that. But no, they so I have a contingency plan, and it's not a 700 foot periscope.
It is the Hubble telescope.
Great news, guys, I've attached an enormous mirror to a balloon, and I've elevated it 700 feet above my house. I have a contingency plan if it does happen. It could even be better content. So, part of me's hoping for it. Anyway, I'm not really. But anyway, as for down on the site, so I do go down there. I do have a look. It's looking very dry down there. So there were crops on those fields. They've since been harvested. Farm Watch. And what has been happening recently, actually, is they've been doing some boring holes, not boring.
Oh,
boring.
I thought you were going to say some really boring survey.
So do you know what? I've actually got a scheduled YouTube video, which is the title is "Boring Isn't Boring." Great.
Can you guarantee that?
No. Look, this is weirdly right, though. And this, so what they're doing, they're drilling down, they're extracting soil samples, and they are testing them for what they contain. They're testing them for contaminant and pollution, because obviously it was an industrial site. And they're also checking to see kind of how solid that land is. So if they're going to need little foundations or big foundations. I'm you know, very much an expert in construction things, but that's the gist of it. Now the irony is, like, I have to make content. I have to make content that's exciting and engaging and makes something, you know, makes people want to watch it. The irony is that this needs to be boring in that kind of, you know, dull kind of way, because what we do not want is there to be a problem, right? We do not want them to go down and go, oh, we didn't notice this kind of, you know,
ancient Roman burial ground.
Oh, I dug a foot down and there's just a hole that goes down to the center of the earth. And like, you know,
I mean, it would be a great ride experience, but
exactly. And all you need is just a rope. But no, like, genuinely, it's part of the process, and part of that as well, you know, they're doing all the surveying stuff. They're going to be not just mapping out all of the land to see what the soil's like, but to kind of check the topography, the kind of the gradients and the undulations of the land, so that they know, okay, if it rains, is it going to flood here? And if it does, how can we divert that flooding? So, hence why they've talked about making a lake zone, so that what is an area that can get a bit waterlogged, you know, can just wash away. So that's what's going on at the moment. After that, I mean, so the next kind of milestone that we're waiting for is not connected to actually what they're doing right now. What they're doing right now is very practical stuff that will have a direct implication on how they build the thing. The next thing that we're expecting, and hopefully we'll be expecting this within the next month or two, will be the government saying, yeah, cool, do it. That needs to happen sooner rather than later, because we have seasons and construction work is a lot easier in the summer and autumn and late spring. So they're going to be looking at kickstarting some of that preparation work. Slip roads. Slip roads. That's what they're going to be kicking off.
So
So
exciting.
yeah. So that's what's going to happen. And as soon as we got that green light, then, you know, I've already told you it's 100% done deal. So again, if it's not, abuse me.
Pitchforks at the ready.
But if it is, you can go, hey, that guy, he knows what he's talking about.
He is on
Brilliant.
it. Yeah, they
Yeah.
don't call him University Bedford for nothing.
For nothing. You know, he even changed his name by Depot.
Yeah, fact. Okay. Oh, yeah, I agree. It's nailed on. Look, there is a lot we could talk about. As you say, the next point is this green light. So the public consultation started at the start of July for 30 days. That will finish at the start of August. And then there's probably a bit of chin scratching in government departments. Obviously, they're on recess, I think, during August. So hopefully, sort of start-ish of September. If not sooner, we will hear if this has got the actual official green light. Start doing some digging. Let's go, boys.
100%. 100%. I
And
mean,
at that point, please come back, and we can have a little celebration
I will
together.
gloat. I will gloat.
It's going to happen. Look, it's going to happen. That is
Yes.
that's the next point. That's what we're waiting for next from
Yes.
Universal GB, Universal UK, whatever.
Universal London, Universal
Universal.
Kempston Hardwick.
I love that.
Yes, a ring to it.
But yeah, so if you are at all interested in what's going on, hopefully you are, and you've not just listened to this podcast and gone, yeah, well, I don't care about Universal, then make sure you are following Lawrence. He is Universally Bedford on all the social platforms. You're
Yes.
going to be starting to do TikTok lives, or you are starting. When this goes out, you will have done a TikTok live. I'm going to go and
Yeah.
harass you on it and just
Oh,
like
you are?
do
Yeah,
it with my hands.
no,
Yeah, I'm just gonna like throw,
heckle.
yeah,
Yeah.
basically.
Yeah, so we are doing weekly ones on TikTok. So if you don't have a TikTok account, because, you know, look, I'm too old to have TikTok. So
Oh,
if I'm too
yeah.
old and I have TikTok, then you can have TikTok. So download TikTok, okay? Don't worry, the Chinese government not going to do anything with your data, all right? They don't care.
He's
Sorry.
95%
I'm 100% sure. Like, no disrespect to you, but they've got bigger fish to fry. So download TikTok, 7 p.m. British time every Thursday. We're going to be doing a thing, and some of the things that we're going to be doing actually best actually experience, because we're going to get the supercomputer out. We're going to do a
Oh,
few.
yes.
Oh yeah. So if you don't know what we're talking about, you make sure that you're there on TikTok Thursdays, 7 p.m. And
Get it in your diary.
I'll speak like this to make it happen, Jedi style.
It's kind of creepy when you do
Yeah, I won't do it again.
that. But that is where you need to be. You'll find out so much when you see these as well.
Yes.
And just generally, you're doing updates as often as possible. So that is great. As someone who doesn't live nearby, I occasionally drive past. Obviously, I am emigrating
Yes.
very soon, and I've been doing some airport runs down to Heathrow more often than I expected. But when I do, I have to drive past the field, the
Honestly.
Universal Bedford site. First of all, I have to go past the construction chaos that is whatever they're doing at the roundabout
The
at the
Black
end
Cat
of.
roundabout.
Oh, make it stop. But yeah, I have to drive past. I always like to think, oh, I wonder what Lawrence is doing. I wonder if he's down in the field at the
Well,
moment.
just I mean, probably am, right? But if I'm not, I'm at home, and you know, I'm kind of hurt that you not popped in for a cup of
Oh,
tea.
sorry, I feel
But
bad about that. I'll try. Look, I would love to come down.
no,
I
look,
would.
I know you're like, you know, relocating your whole life, but you know,
Yeah. I'll just pause that for a
yeah,
second because I
please.
do need to. Well, to be fair, you showed me some donuts that you bought in Bedford very recently, which looked worth the
Yes.
trip alone, to be honest.
Say donuts. Say donuts. Shout out. They're unbelievable.
Not sponsored by,
No,
but
no, 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 no,
very
no. But
hashtag not an ad.
hey, not an ad, but I recommend.
There you
Okay, I'm not
go.
getting paid.
That is all you need.
Yeah.
It's been amazing having you back on podcast. We will have you back here very soon with the excellent
Can't
news
wait.
that this is going ahead 100%.
101.
Yeah, we are nearly there, guys. It's nearly across the line.
Oh, nice.
Keep everything crossed, your fingers, your toes, your eyes, and it will happen. Lawrence, it's been amazing. Like I said, he's University Bedford. You can find him wherever you want to. If you've enjoyed today's episode, leave us a review. Let us know what you thought. And if you want to give us a rating, do that as well. Why not? Go all in.
Do it.
If you haven't already, make sure you're subscribed. Then you're not going to miss an episode. And we will be back next week. For now, though, we've been Parkcast.
Parkcast. The UK's original theme park podcast.